Amen. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, please, chapter 2. I'll get off the fun stuff. We've had a lot of fun stuff tonight and good stuff. I appreciate it. And I'll share some more with you and just in a minute after we read some scriptures and talk about a few things about faith promise. Amen. And I'll share some things in there as we go along. And I really, honestly, I came to this meeting discouraged. I'll just be honest about it. I came here discouraged. And God has blessed and uplifted me through your testimony and your sweetness and kindness. And the school has been nothing but just a great example and blessing to me. I appreciate you, Lori. And I tell you, you have great kids. I tell you, they're fantastic. And I came here down in the dumps. And you have been such a blessing to me. Oh, I tell you, you wouldn't even begin to know how much of a blessing you've already been to me. And I'll share that with you. Sometimes we just need to share our heart, amen? And it's so true that we go through things. I can name them. I'm not going to. You know why? Because each one of you could stand up right now and name a bunch of those circumstances that you're going through that will drag you down if we are not bigger than that. And what we're going to preach on tonight, we're bigger than that. Folks, we go through those all the time. And they just wear on you. They wear on you. Just wear on you. And all of a sudden, you know, that happiness of God in your heart, the joy of the Lord, is our strength. And sometimes we lose that joy. And it's not hard to do sometimes. But I tell you what, it's hard to get it back. Have you noticed that? It's just a lot harder to get it back than it is to lose it, isn't it? So I appreciate what you've done for me. You've been such a blessing to me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's stand and read one verse. And you know what? You won't know what missions is coming out of this verse, but I want to take this verse and start on the mission message tonight. Now, this is Friday night, and I know it's 18 minutes till. And this message I put together is at least an hour and a half long. But I'll cut it down to 25 minutes, okay? All right, let's read this verse. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words, what? To no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Ask that you bless it to our hearts tonight. We thank you for an opportunity to stand in this pulpit. Thank you for this pastor, Lord, that stands here every week and proclaims the name of God and the word of God in this pulpit. Thank you for him. Bless these people, wonderful people. Help them to work together to reach people for Christ, we pray, and love each other and be in unity and the things that we need as a church to proceed in the Great Commission in reaching people for Christ. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And you notice it said, strive not with words, you can be seated, for no profit. Faith promise, that's two words, isn't it? Two words, there's profit. And in a missions conference, we mention those words, faith, promise, and sometimes they don't mean anything to us because we do that every year. And we keep using those words over and over again. And it means mission giving. Mission giving, that's exactly what it means. And the church calls a meeting once a year, meet together, a missions conference is called, for a purpose. There's a purpose. And the purpose is to raise funds to support missionaries to reach the world for Christ. and carry out your commandment and my commandment of the Great Commission. The Great Commission, reaching people for Christ. Amen? And it starts right here at home. If you don't do it here, as the Brother Sam said, Brother Moss the other night, you won't do it over there. Amen? You got to be doing it here. Never send anybody that's not doing it here, because they won't do it over there very long. It might be through excitement. They might do it for a short while. But they'll quit. It'll be the same. So faith promise is mission given. Thinking about it. Think about it. So it must be by faith, which we're going to Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Is the faith promise. It's not the faith promise chapter, but it's the faith chapter. And we want to talk about faith tonight. Your faith, my faith in God. Amen? And our faith should be based upon God. And that's why you can go through your circumstances and come out the other end, is because of God. Amen? And it's your faith in God and our trust in God is what brings us through those times in our lives. Amen? And so God does it. It's all about God. It's not about us. Amen? Remember that. And we're His. And what we are, He has made us. And the good things comes from God, not from your boss or anybody else. Amen? It comes from God. And so the good things comes from the Lord that we have. And I'm thankful. In America, we are blessed of God. You go other places, you see poverty. And honestly, that's not the reason we have missions conferences. The poverty is not what we have to. We used to show those little pictures, on the screen, and to jerk people's hearts strings. Honestly, it should be all about glorifying God, because witnessing is glorifying God no more, no less. And God wants us to glorify Him. Idolatry in the world, look at it. It's all about worshiping gods, when really they need to be worshiping the true God. Amen? And so the world has worship systems all over the world, but not in the right God, the God of heaven. Amen? The God that made, as we're going to read, heaven and earth. In Hebrews 11, I'll read verse 38 of 10 first. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. Faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Look at the next verse. But without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. To please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We see that the just shall live by faith. We see faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and that faith pleases God. Enoch pleased God. He went to heaven without dying. And he walked with God, and he walked straight into heaven. And it pleased God because of his faith. His faith. So we see that faith pleases God. God wants us to have faith. And I think in every part of our life and every decision we make, everything in our life should be based upon this thing of faith. Faith in God. And that's belief. That's trust. That's obedience. You can just name them right down through this chapter. I mean, Noah, Abraham, all of the great patriarchs in the Old Testament. Noah preached for 120 years. Is that right, preacher? 120 years. And you know what? He just got his family on the boat. Man, that's a long ministry. To just get your family on the boat. Nobody else got on with him. Just his family. But you know what? I got a feeling that Noah was faithful in preaching the Word of God to the people that came out, probably laughed at him and all of those things. He continued serving the Lord about faith. And faith promise is so simple. It's so simple. And God made it so simple that everyone can get involved in it because it has to do with your faith. How much faith do you have? He made a system to give to missions for your church that every person in church can get involved in. Every person. All people can. Why? Because it's based on your faith. What you give to the mission program of this church is based upon your faith in God's promise. That's how much you're going to give. It's your faith. It gauges your faith. How much do you give? It has to do with how much faith you have. But God made it that way for this reason. Everybody can get involved. Because it's not the amount that matters. It's the obedience and faith that matters. It's not the amount. But do you not think, I've been given faith promise for 38 years. Do you not think that over those 38 years that my faith should have grown some? Wouldn't you think it? It should grow every year. So my faith promise has outgrown my tithe. Why? 38 years of giving faith promise. And if I could not have enough faith in God to give to Him in those years, practicing faith promise, man, I tell you, I got problems. Spiritual problems. Problems of my heart. Problems in my life. And weakness in my life as a Christian. And it's not to shame anybody. Because you have to do it yourself with God. I can't do it for you. And I shouldn't have to. But I'm saying everybody can get involved because it is by faith. And on the amount that is between you and God. You know what really, really just tugged away at my heart one time and brought me to my knees in prayer and tears was that, I don't know about you, but when my kids was teens and they're 48 and 45 now, so they're beyond that a few years, and now I have great grandkids that's coming on almost there, you know. But I walked in my daughter's room. You know, when I had teenagers, I once in a while slipped through their rooms and just sort of went through everything. You know? I just went through. I'll just tell you a secret. I just went through everything in the room and checked everything out. And one day, we just had our faith promise. I walked through my teenager's room. And Kim had a little job down at this Ponderosa Steakhouse. She worked part-time, went to MCA Christian Academy, and that was her life. And I saw on the dresser a little faith promise card. And me being a dad, I looked. And you know what her faith promise was per week? $5. She had a job working maybe 15 hours a week. You know, that blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. She tithed on her income, and she gave a faith promise, and I never asked her to. It was between her and God. But, boy, I tell you, that blessed me. I was blessed because my daughter loved God enough to have a faith promise her own. See? We can have that. It's faith. How much faith do we have in God? How much do we trust God? How much do we believe God? How much do we really want to be obedient to God? Or is there things in our life that we let take all of our time and we don't have time for God, see? And God's there, but we sort of push Him aside a bit. And we make other things more important than God. Turn with me to, please, 2 Corinthians. We haven't been there yet. We'll go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Chapter 9. I want to illustrate faith promise in these three verses. I think they're tremendous verses that illustrate faith promise in just a marvelous way, actually. In verse 6, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Look at those verses just a minute. You reap what you sow. We see that very obviously. The Lord said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And so we see that you reap what you sow, but that's only part of it. Down through there, in the first one, in verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth. You know what? There must be conviction. Just like salvation, you get convicted of your sin, and it draws you to Christ. And in faith promise, have you ever been convicted of God about faith promise, how much to give? And you know what? I always make a promise, and then before the end of the week, I have a figure in my heart and mind. I've been convicted. I've prayed about it. I have a figure, and before the end of the week, Satan comes to me and wants me to mark it down and make it lower. Every time, he'll do it. He'll come to you. He wants you to make it lower. But conviction, as you purposeth in your heart, make it just like a salvation decision to God by faith. It's a decision between you and God that you are going to be involved in faith, promise, mission, giving. And you're convicted about it. It's you purposed in your heart. You've talked to God. You've been convicted. You've communed with the Lord. You're partners in this thing because without Him, we can do nothing. Amen? We can do nothing. So I'm convicted about this thing. And I've been convicted about it in His heart. In His heart. Convicted in His heart. So let Him give. There's compassion there. There's compassion in His heart. Heart. What about you? Do you see people and do you have compassion? Is not charity compassion? Love is compassion. I have compassion. I see something happening, and in my heart, I have compassion. I want to help. See? because it's my heart. God has convicted. I have purpose in my heart about this matter. I have made it a real thing between God and myself. It's personal. And don't let any preacher preach you into something. Don't let this preacher preach you into something. But I'm saying it is very serious you into something. It should be a decision based upon your relationship to God. And it's between you and the Lord. And make it, it's faith in the Lord. See, and His promise to us. And He's promised us. Here's some things. The thing that is, He said to do it cheerfully. Man, that's a thing. Sometimes when your wallet comes out, it's hard to be happy about it. You know what I'm saying? You're giving with your wallet and you just can't smile. It hurts. You know? It's painful sometimes. Because you think maybe it might be mine. But when really it's not. It's His. But I think till we realize that, we really can't be happy about it. And now I put my offering in, and I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it because it's between God and I, and we have prayed about it and discussed it very carefully, and the Holy Spirit has convicted me and has guided me into this thing, and it's just permanent in my life. And like I say, it's not about how much you make. No, it's about your faith. I know people that makes a lot maybe that don't give too much. I mean, we're not to talk about that. But the thing is, it's what's your heart doing? This is a heart thing. Missions is the heartbeat of this church. Faith promise is heartbeat of this church. I promise you. Missions is a great thing in any church. And it's very important. And you call that meeting, and we concentrate on sometimes some words, and maybe sometimes you just get a little bit lackadaisical in that. It just becomes another meeting. Please don't make it that. It's too important. The world needs Jesus. It's too important. That's what the meeting's all about, to make it flippant and be flippant about it. It's very important. And so the next thing is what I'm saying, when you have faith in God and you make a decision, you know what? He gives you a promise. Now, I'm asking you, can you take God at His word? And He says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I mean, with faith, when you and God make a decision, He's got another promise on the end of that, that He's going to do for you. And He does it. Same way with salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. When I by faith receive Christ as my personal Savior for forgiveness of sin, you know what? He saved my soul and He gave me an inheritance in heaven. He gave me all of these bonuses of salvation. And it's the same thing with any other decision. Faith is this. When He asks you to do something, and you become obedient, there's a promise on the end of it that He's going to bless you in that thing. And it's just a matter of can I trust God? Can I trust God? It comes down to it. I have to have my faith in the right source, and that's God. And can I trust Him for this amount that we're talking about? And that's your decision between you and God, the amount that you give to missions. And it must be a commitment between you and the Lord. And folks, that's the way the job gets done. And that's the way the missionaries get support. That's the way this church grows. That's the heartbeat of this church. Make it your heartbeat. And missions should be everybody's heartbeat. And I want my neighbors to be saved. And I want the men down the street to be saved. And if we're not careful, we don't concentrate by faith on the things that we should be concentrating on and make them serious enough that we can serve God. Amen? And that faith, every area of our life should be led by faith because it covers all of this. And God's grace is sufficient for us. And man, I don't go without. I don't go without. Matter of fact, I'm trying to cut down myself in eating food. I've been blessed too much. And I told the preacher, I've been fleshly driven and not spiritually led. And what it is, I've been fleshly driven and spiritually fed. And sometimes that's what happens in our life. And all of a sudden, we have to let God take care of that thing. And so I came up and I went to the doctor and he said, Brother Case, he said, you have sugar. And I said, oh, duck. I said, that's terrible. I said, my wife's been telling me I was getting sweeter and sweeter, but I said, I didn't think I'd turn to sugar. And he told me I had sugar. That's right. And so the thing of it is, I had to start watching my weight. And now, am I going to be fleshly driven or am I going to be spiritually led? Spiritually led is I'll get my weight under control. If I come back the next time and I've still got this gut, you know, that I haven't lost that 32 pounds I need to lose, you can honestly say that, Brother Case, you're fleshly driven. I mean, that's a fact. You can. And be honest about it. It's true. Because we're supposed to be spiritually led. And Philippians has just been a marvelous book for me. It's a little study. And in Philippians 1, there's single mind. And the single mind is on Jesus, our Lord. That's a single mind. And we as people of God should have a single mind. And then in chapter 2, Paul does something. He uses four illustrations of a submissive mind. Jesus was submissive and went to the cross, was the first one. Paul was submissive to Christ. Timothy was submissive to Paul and the Lord. Epaphroditus was as well. And then below that is the church was submissive. Submitted themselves to God. The church, the whole church, submit themselves to God. Then in chapter 3, he comes in and he throws this thing that I was just talking about. He said, Brother Case, you need to have a spiritual mind. He said, die to the flesh. It plainly states you die to the flesh. And you live in the Spirit and have a spiritual mind. And having a spiritual mind, guess what, is this. No more than this is preferring other people before yourself. Thinking of the other guy before you think of yourself. Putting other people before you. And then the last one in chapter 4 is to have a secure mind. Have a secure mind in the Lord, concentrating on things of God and the work of God, a secure mind, stable Christian, and concentrating on things of God as of faith promise, mission conferences, as of revival. If you have a revival, and I'll quit with this, it's this, do you really get into the revival and become a part of it? And come to the services and pray for the preacher. You know, he doesn't bring anything in his suitcase. God can send revival, but we've got to humble ourselves, amen, as people. And the whole church has to kind of do it together. We're a team. We're a team. And we need to humble ourselves together as a team and allow God to work in our heart as Christians. just fall on our face and start praying and crying out to God for our church. And you know what? What that does? It keeps Satan away. It keeps disunity away, which we shouldn't have. It keeps the adversary out of the church instead of letting him come in. You think he's out in the world? He's not out in the world. He's around churches, and especially Baptist churches, because we do try to do something for God, don't we? We have a heart to win souls, and we're trying to do something for God. And you think he's not picking on us? And you know what? He's no respecter of person. He'll pick on anybody. He'll pick on your missionaries. He'll pick on your staff members. He'll pick on anybody in church. He don't have any favorites. He doesn't. He'll pick on anybody. And if we'll let him, he'll come in. Amen? He'll come in. Boy, let's keep him out. Amen? And walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Amen? Think about it. What about our faith promise? Have we really been seriously convicted and praying about what we're going to give to Faith Promise this year for the church, for the mission giving? You know, we need to do that this week. We're going to take a commitment Sunday morning, the preacher said, and we need to be prepared spiritually. I need to be prepared as a preacher and ready to preach Sunday morning. You need to be prepared to make your Faith Promise offering and make it between you and God. And you know what? You'll feel secure and good about it all year this year because you did it for God. And I'll tell you what, He won't let you down. He won't let you down. And He'll give you the extra that you need. He said it with all sufficiency in all things. And sometimes I get right up to the thing, man, I need that, you know? And then all of a sudden, He's there. And he said, here it is, Brother Case. He said, I won't let you down. Just think. Are we really basing our faith on God and being obedient to Him? Because that's what it's all about, isn't it?